Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. We're so thankful that you've given of your time to join us, and we trust and pray that just wherever you are in life, that the Lord will draw near and minister to your heart in these days, even tonight as we consider the gospel together. Now, before we read the Word of God, we're going to have a word of prayer. So let's just unite our hearts and just where you are, still your heart before the Lord, and let's seek His face together. Heavenly Father, tonight we want to thank and praise Thy holy name for the Word of God, for the Bible. We thank Thee, O God, that Thy Word is truth. It's forever settled in heaven. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank Thee for the gospel within its pages that is able to meet men and women at the point of need. And, O God, we pray that even as we consider the Word of God together, at this time, O God, Thou wilt speak mightily and be pleased to draw precious souls to Thyself and encourage those who know Thee already. Continue with us, bless this time together, pour out Thy Spirit, save the lost, and glorify and magnify Thy Son, for it's in His name and for His eternal glory that we pray. Amen. Amen. It may be that you have a Bible there. We would encourage you to lift it and open it at Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. And I'm reading from the 15th verse. Luke chapter 14 and verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent the servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city. Bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. God will bless the reading of his precious and inspired word to our hearts for his name's sake and for his glory. We're going to have a hymn now, and it's entitled, I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Perhaps the biggest stumbling block to our Saviour's earthly ministry came from the religious establishment of his day. It didn't so much come from the world or from the Romans, although of course they were opposed to him as well, but primarily the biggest stumbling block to his preaching and healing ministry came from the religious crowd, the scribes, the Pharisees, the doctors of the law, the Jewish people. The Word of God says he came to his own, and his own esteemed him not. And so often they try to catch him out, they try to trip him up. And we see in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14 here, in the very first verse, that he was invited into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread with him on the Sabbath day. Now, there's nothing wrong with that at all. And on the surface, that looks benevolent and it looks noble. But underneath the surface, there was a motive there that they might find accusation against him. And so they sat and they carefully watched him, and they listened to him, hoping that he would put a foot out of line or say a word out of turn, and they could find accusation against him. And later on in Luke's chapter 14, we read about the Lord telling a parable. Now, a parable is often described as an earthly story that has a spiritual and an eternal application. And the Lord spoke by way of parable so that the common people could identify with his ministry and with his message. And it was very, very successful because the Bible says the common people heard him gladly. The scripture says he taught as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And so the ordinary man in the street that maybe had no thought about religious things at all, whenever the Savior came, could identify with what he was saying, could understand it, and it could impact his heart. And on the flip side of that, the Pharisees, the ones who were against him, were often confused by his manner of teaching. And here in Luke 14, the Lord tells a wonderful parable. It's one of my favorites, the parable of the Great Supper. It's rich in application. There's a prophetic application, I believe. There's evangelistic application as well. And then there's a great application of the gospel. Certain man made a great supper and bade many, sent the servant out at supper time to say to them who were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And those who respond to the invitation in this parable, the invitation of the gospel, can ultimately say, like the Shunammite bride in Song of Solomon 2:4, he brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me is love. As we consider for a few moments this wonderful story, the parable of the Great Supper, I want you to notice, first of all, the banquet that was provided. The banquet that was provided. Verse 16, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. We know literally nothing about this man other than he was evidently wealthy. He evidently had a large dwelling because he could bring people in to sit at his table. He was wealthy enough to provide this great banquet. He was also kind and gracious and benevolent in that he wanted people to come to the banquet and be part of his home for the evening or for the afternoon, that he might enjoy fellowship with them. No expense was spared. A lot of time was spent as well. And it reminds us of what God has prepared for us in the gospel. There's a banquet provided. Maybe today the Lord is speaking to you about this great banquet, something that the Christian enjoys in time. We can say, those of us that are saved and have trusted the Lord, like the psalmist David, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And at the Lord's table, the table of the gospel, there's a host of good things for us to enjoy. Pardon for sin, as the hymn writer said, a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000s beside. In the gospel and at the table of the gospel, I find peace with God. I find forgiveness of sins. I find assurance of heaven and home. I enjoy the peace of God, the presence of God, access to the throne of God. I become a benefactor of all of God's great promises. What a wonderful thing to enjoy, this great banquet that we can enjoy in time. And then we will enjoy it greater still in eternity. Revelation 19 speaks about the great marriage supper of the Lamb, where the bride of Christ will sit down and fellowship with her Lord. And what a glorious, blessed day that's going to be. Verse number 17 says, all things are now ready. Everything that needed to be made ready was ready. The table was set. The door was opened, the fire was stoked, the food was prepared, the servants were in hand. Everything that needed to be done was done. All is now ready. And on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ cried out with victory and with triumph, it is finished. And everything that you need to enjoy peace with God has been accomplished on the cross at Calvary. The door has been opened. Jesus said in John chapter 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And whenever he cried out, it's finished, that great veil that symbolically separated man and God was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the way was opened back to God. The door has been opened. And also the price has been paid. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And on that cross at Calvary, about 2,000 years ago, the Prince of Glory suffered and bled and died and took responsibility for sin and paid the price, the debt of sin in full. Your sin can be paid for in but one of two places: God's hell or Christ's cross. A banquet that was provided. Notice secondly, an invitation that was extended. Verse 17, he sent the servant out at supper time to say to them that were bidden, "Come, for all things are now ready." Now that invitation is broad and it's liberal. The Bible says it's for the whosoever. Revelation 22 says whosoever will is allowed to come. It's broad and it's liberal. It includes you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's also wonderfully simple. It just says, come. Come, for all things are now ready. Come as you are. Come now. Come from where you are and come to this dwelling house, this banqueting house. It's so plain, it's so simple, it's so broad, it's so liberal, and it's also so sincere. This kind, benevolent man wanted people to come. And God says in his precious word in Romans chapter 10, all day long I've stretched out my hands to a disobedient and a gainsaying people. The Lord Jesus said, how oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings. It's also an urgent invitation because it says, come, for all things are now ready. Whenever the Bible speaks about salvation, it does so in the present tense. It says it is time to seek the Lord. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. It says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And the invitation as well is repeated, because it says in verse 17, he sent his servant out at supper time to say to them that were bidden, past tense. They had been invited before. They knew that this man was going to prepare this banquet and he was going to spend a lot of money preparing it, and he was going to invite people to come, and they'd been invited before. Maybe you've heard the gospel many, many times before, but still you haven't come. And yet the invitation is extended again to you. The reality is, for some, this would be the last invitation because it was supper time. It was the evening time. The sun was setting. Opportunity was limited. And maybe this is the evening time of life for us on the prophetic clock. I think it is. It might be the evening time of life for you personally. You might be well into your 60s, your 70s, your 80s, or even beyond. It might be the evening time of opportunity, because the Bible says God's Spirit shall not always strive with man. It would do you well to respond to the invitation of the gospel and come. Come to Christ, for all things are now ready. Come to him who died on the cross and shed his blood. Notice, thirdly, the offer that was refused. The servant went out at supper time, and in verse number 18 it says, and they all of the people initially that were invited, they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. They had been invited. They were aware that this banquet was going to be provided. Perhaps they had said yes to the general invitation. Maybe whenever there was news filtering through, so-and-so is going to prepare a great banquet. He's going to invite us. I'm sure many people intended to be there, and they maybe said, well, yes, I'm going to go to that. I'll pencil that in. I'll endeavor to be there. And maybe they said that out of politeness. But whenever the specific invitation went out, they said no. And I'm sure some of you intend someday to get right with God. You intend to respond to the gospel. But as you're invited tonight and as the word of God is open now in your hearing, I wonder, will you come to Christ now? You intend to come sometime perhaps. But whenever the specific invitation and the specific challenge goes out, you've got an excuse. They all with one consent began to make excuse. Their excuses were all different. They were all weak in the extreme. But in this they were agreed, we're not coming. We're not going to this banqueting house. Now the first excuse was this. I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Does that sound like a good excuse to you? This man's either a farmer or a builder involved in real estate, and he's bought a piece of ground, and he tries to say, I haven't even seen it yet. Would you buy a plot of ground without looking at it first? Furthermore, it was supper time, and he wouldn't get a good look at it anyway. It's a weak excuse, isn't it? Then the second excuse is, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Would you know a farmer or a butcher who would go out and buy 5 yoke of oxen without seeing them first? Be very foolish, wouldn't it? He could have brought 5 yoke of absolute runts that were good for nothing. It was a weak excuse, and still it was supper time. It was later still than the fellow that made the first excuse. And then the third excuse is weakest in the extreme. I can see this little servant making his way up the road, and he comes to another house, and the man comes out and says, I've married a wife, and I can't come. She won't let me out. The reality is that she would have been invited as well, and they could have both come together. Maybe there's a couple listening tonight, and you could both come to Christ now and come together. And so you see that all of these excuses are weak. But the reality is, if you're not a Christian, you have got an excuse. Maybe you say tonight, well, I'm good enough. The Bible says there's none that doeth good. You say, well, I'm too big a sinner. The Bible says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Maybe you say, I've got a habit that I can't give up. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Maybe you say, my heart is so hard. The Lord says he'll give you a heart of flesh. Maybe you say, I'll lose my friends. You'll gain a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Maybe you say, I could fall or feel. The Bible says he's able to keep you from falling. You say, but I'm so weak. The Bible says, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. You say, it might affect my business if I become a Christian. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You say, I've missed my opportunity. I'm too late. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You say, I'm young. I've still got plenty of time. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. You say, I go to my church. The Bible says, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You say, I'm afraid that the Lord won't receive me. He says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You say, but my faith is so small. The Bible says, if you've got faith as a grain of a mustard seed. Maybe you say, there are too many hypocrites in the church. That's the best excuse you've got. And you're right, there are too many hypocrites in the church. But you're going to give an account for your life. What will your excuse sound like at the great white throne? And so the servant came home again and showed his master these things. And the Bible says the master of the house was angry. And he sent them out again and said, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Lastly, you've got the people who responded. Verse number 21. Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city. Bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. Those are the type of people who knew their condition. Those are the type of people who feel they don't matter. They think society's passed them by. They think that nobody cares, and maybe you fall into that category. Poor. Poor financially, doesn't matter. Poor spiritually. And then those that are maimed, those that have been hurt by their sin and by life in this world, they're invited to come as well. Those who are halt, who can't walk, who need to be carried, they're invited to come. And those as well who are blind, they're invited to come as well. And they responded immediately to the first invitation. He says, Master, it's done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Isn't that lovely? Yet there is room. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Then verse 23. The Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges. Go further still. I know it's supper time, it's getting dark, but I want my house to be filled. So go into the highways and hedges and compel them, constrain them to come in. And maybe the Lord tonight's constraining you, speaking to you about your sin, your life without God, and you know that Christ is inviting you. What are you going to do? Come, for all things are now ready. Are you just going to make excuses? Are you going to procrastinate? Are you going to put it off? Or are you going to say yes to Jesus Christ? And I'm going to come now, and I'm going to come to the cross, and I'm going to trust Christ as my Savior. You know, the saddest words in the parable are found in verse number 24. The master of the house says, "Those men, none of those men that were bidden shall taste of my supper." They'd heard the invitation from the last time. They'd hardened their hearts, and the invitation was being withdrawn. That could happen to you. God invites you now. You harden your heart. You make light of it. You make excuse. And the Lord withdraws the promptings and the strivings of His Spirit. Don't gamble with your soul. Come to Christ now and enjoy this great banquet. And you too will be able to say, "He brought me into His banqueting house. His banner over me is love. This is my beloved. This is my friend. He's altogether lovely." And for time and then for all eternity, you'll be in the Father's house. "In my Father's house are many mansions," the Savior said. "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." But you must be ready. Are you ready tonight? Will you come to Christ and respond to the call of God? Let's pray together, and just where you are in your home or in some other place perhaps, why not just pray and ask the Lord to save you and to come into your heart and life. Father, we thank Thee tonight for Thy word. We praise Thee for the love of the Savior, for the sufficiency of His work upon the cross, for the invitation of the gospel, for a wonderful Savior and the blessed salvation. Lord, we pray tonight for those who are listening, halting perhaps some between two opinions, not sure about what excuse to make. Oh God, bring them through for Thyself. Hear and answer prayer. Write Thy precious word, oh God, upon hearts, and draw souls to the cross. We pray in the Savior's name and for God's eternal glory. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.